Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
College football is upon us. Florida State, well, I guess they might not be as back as we thought they were. We've got Ohio State, Akron this weekend. This is going to be a tough one. I'm not sure if Ohio State can keep it. I don't know.
Can Akron keep it within 60?
Maybe. I would say it's going to be a toughie, though. But to talk about all those things, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on of Gojo and Golic and college football analyst Mike Golic Jr. Mike, welcome to the show.
Appreciate you having me. Happy almost week one. We're finally here.
Should we be putting better games in week zero?
It'd be nice, but quite honestly, no. I think, like, what we've just come off of, a massive gap in the sport, a long talking season, you know, college football, yeah, we get spring football, which is something, but it's not quite like the NFL model where we've got the combine as this new flux of stuff, and then we've got the draft. Like, we haven't gotten there with the professional presentation of the portal yet. So I think right now you can afford to give us scraps, and we're going to eat them up like we haven't eaten in days because we've been wandering around the wasteland without college football.
Mike, I feel like we've been talking about Ohio State with just in the same, like, three circles of a conversation. But we had former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer on yesterday, and we asked him if you and Jim Harbaugh, because there was some tension there, if you guys bumped into each other, would you be able to have a friendly conversation? So I ask you, as one of the notable Notre Dame alums in the world, is there anybody from one of Notre Dame's 37 rivalries that if you saw them from your time playing, that you might go up there and buck up on them?
No, probably not at this point, but that's mostly a reflection of me being tired and forgetting most of the slights of the past. Like, I can tell you guys I gave up sacks to, I can tell you bad plays I had, but as far as people that genuinely ticked me off enough to remember into adulthood, nah, probably not. I mean, do you guys, like, Dusty, you guys have beef that's longstanding like that? I'd be impressed.
I don't have beef. Do you have beef, Nick?
I am beef.
You are
but
beefy.
I do not have
you
beef.
You are beefy, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Mike, let me ask you about tomorrow. We've got Colorado and NDSU, and everyone's been on this Colorado thing, whether you like them or you don't. I mean, there's a lot of haters. We get that. But this is a tough matchup for them, like week one. I mean, they're playing a team that could come in there and literally pull the upset. What do you think about Colorado and what Prime is doing?
You know what? It is bold scheduling. I will say that for your out of conference. I mean, we've seen for years people not willing to go and put North Dakota State on the schedule because of what they've been at the FCS level. Now, it's worth noting that this really, for the last few years, has actually been a element of, or division of football that's belonged to South Dakota State, right? They are the back-to-back defending champions in FCS football, and they're going to be a team someone else has to face in this opening weekend in Oklahoma State. But stylistically, it's a nightmare matchup for what has traditionally, through 1 year of Deion Sanders, been the problem. They're an incredibly physical football team. They want to get downhill. They want to run power at you and test you along the defensive and offensive lines of scrimmage. And that's where we know Colorado's had their biggest trouble. So it's a great test early on for a Colorado defensive line that people have maintained is well improved, and an offensive line that we know they portaled heavy, they're trying to redo again. You're going to get a great stress test week one before you really get to go up in that competition level and face a Nebraska team that wants revenge from last season.
The Guardians did just pull off a 7-5 win to salvage not getting swept by the Royals. It was a good win, come from behind win. We're going to get to that coming up in about 15 minutes here, but we got Mike Golic Jr. on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I asked Urban this question yesterday. I'm not just going to ask you about our interview with Urban, by the way. I promise you, I'm not dropping here. I realized what I was doing for the second time. He's a great guy. It was wonderful. We replayed him late in the show, and a lot of people loved it. Some didn't, but a lot of people loved it. But I got to say, when I asked him, and I asked the wrong person the right question. I asked him, is it better for the Big Ten if Ohio State beats Oregon on October 12th or if Oregon beats Ohio State? So I now pose that question to you.
Oh, I mean, if you're looking for the Big Ten, if you're looking for that, the old guard, you want Ohio State to win. Oregon coming in year one and managing to pull that off, albeit it's a game that's going to be out at Austin, so they've got the home field advantage. But yeah, I don't think you want to be the incumbent and let the new guy come in and push you around right away. It would create a ton of interest for the rest of us. Like, I don't know about the Big Ten, but for the outside world, that would be incredible for us. A $20 million roster getting its teeth kicked in by the team that just joined the conference that comes from the Pac-12 that traditionally, style-wise, isn't supposed to be hanged. That's easy for us to write headlines off of for the rest of the world. But no, if you're the Big Ten, you want Ohio State to handle business.
Who do you think is going to win the Big Ten? I think Ohio State, but what say you?
I picked Oregon just because, like, Ohio State's got the Death Star roster. It's $20 million. It's all the stuff that we know about the team. Like you said, we've talked these headlines into oblivion. I just do have questions like, hey, we probably won't need to see a super high ceiling with Will Howard, but it's still something that bears looking at. I mean, you saw with Kyle McCord last year. Hey, you had good weapons around him. Marvin Harrison Jr. said himself he's probably the best wide receiver to come through Ohio State. And even that wasn't enough in the biggest games when you had Kyle McCord throwing the ball. So I want to see Will Howard do it. And the offensive line concerns me. Like, you talk about Urban Meyer, that's the biggest difference. When Urban was here when they won their last title, Ohio State was a force along the line of scrimmage on the offensive side of the football. And now I have legitimate questions about the pieces there. There's talented guys in there, especially on the left side of that line. But I want to see it come together in a meaningful way that's not going to matter at the beginning of the season when they're playing Akron. But it's going to be about when you got to see that Michigan defense get back again. It's going to be about when you have to see the depth that Oregon has or whoever you get in the playoff, because Ohio State's going to be in the playoff. That's when I'm most concerned about that group still being something that could prevent them from their ultimate goal, which is, hey, this year, beat Michigan, win the national championship. Those are the only things that matter.
Mike, will the other three new Big Ten teams struggle to adapt to this conference?
I think so right out of the gate. USC is super curious. They actually, like, strapped on their big boy pants this offseason and said, we have to make some changes, especially defensively. Alex Grinch had been with Lincoln Riley for the longest going back to Oklahoma. We hadn't really seen it work at a high level, but maybe 1 year, and probably held on to that too long. And so now you get De'Anton Lynn. Now you get a guy that came from a defense that made huge improvements last year at UCLA. They're going to be interesting because offensively they've got the firepower and the scheme under Lincoln Riley. He's kind of like Sark, where every year the offense is going to work. You just know based on them being there. But they're interesting because we know O&D line's been an issue there. And I think really for everyone else, Washington lost so much. UCLA's in a massive transition period now that Chip Kelly lives over here. So I do think everyone else, it's going to be a year where they've got to kind of do some retooling.
Mike, let's talk a little SEC football here in Big Ten country, because the SEC has certainly gotten much, much tougher and more interesting with OU and Texas joining in. You know, Bama's got a new coach. Obviously, Kalen DeBoer comes in from Washington. Georgia's still loaded, so I would probably pick them to win the SEC. But, man, it's going to be interesting this year, don't you think?
Yeah, oh, it's going to be awesome. And you want to talk about another conference that has to worry about a team coming in the first year. And, man, I understand the Big Ten has a lot of pride, but we hear the SEC superiority complex pop in all the time where a couple of years ago when the Oklahoma and Texas move got announced, the people scoffed at it and said, oh, you think you're going to come over after the Big 12, Texas, and all their boosters and donors that think so highly of the school. And then last year, Sark did the thing. He got them over the hump. They won the Big 12 on the way out. They made the college football playoff, and they looked along the lines of scrimmage like a team that could come in and compete right away. So, yeah, they've got that interesting there. Georgia, you know, let's see, some of the skill players that are certainly looking a little bit different based off what's going on in the preseason with certain guys being let go from the team, some changes from some important players last year, but it's all still there. They should be the one. Alabama, I want to see. Kalen DeBoer is a hell of a football coach, but we know Alabama is a bit of a different math problem that you have to solve. And for Jalen Milroe, he's not what we think of when we think of a Kalen DeBoer quarterback in terms of what we saw, you know, with Michael Penix both in Indiana and at Washington. So I just think I'm fascinated to see how those styles mesh and how Kalen DeBoer meets his quarterback where he is, uses some of those skill sets, especially with his legs, and creates an offense that could still be one of the best in college football.
If you guys are just joining us, Gardo's just got a big win over the Royals to stave off a sweep. We got some talk on that coming here shortly, but we've got Mike Golic Jr. on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So I know you talked a little bit about Will Howard there. Do you think Will Howard is a definitive upgrade over Kyle McCord?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Kyle McCord's a good college quarterback, but when it comes to this level of football, it just missed too many layups. Like, he had a couple of bleep you throws in the bag. You saw those pop up in the Michigan game. You saw him pop up at other spots along the season. There's a reason Ohio State recruited the guy. But ultimately, I think you saw as the year went on, to have those kind of weapons around you consistently and to fail producing spots where there were bunnies built in for you in Ryan Day's offense, I think ultimately Will Howard is going to be able to come in and make those layups more often than not. The big plays are going to be there because you've got big-time playmakers. You need a quarterback to come in and play point guard and miss a lot fewer of the open shots.
All right, this leads me to a completely meaningless and quite frankly unfair hypothetical question, but this is what I'm known for. If Will Howard was the starting quarterback last year, do things look different for Ohio State?
They probably look a little bit better. I still ultimately don't think they beat last year's Michigan team just because they were so mature in that roster's life cycle. Along the lines of scrimmage, I think they were the superior group. We saw defensively how much talent there was there, offensively having, you know, J.J. McCarthy, who, you know, I understand that Jim Harbaugh calls him the best quarterback in school history. I don't know, but he has certainly grew into someone that was incredibly impressive for what he was asked to do behind that group up front full of maulers. So I think they probably would have made it a little bit closer, but ultimately I still think Michigan was getting it done last year.
I don't know how to put this. I made it weird with the last guest we had on it, so I'll just make it weird again. I took my cold shower earlier today, and it might have changed my life, although it certainly took a minute to adjust there. Are you a cold shower guy?
No, never been. I'm a cold plunge guy. Like, that was something from my playing days that I still do a fair amount in life now because I like the effect. There's all the good research on what it can do for you, but for some reason, I associate the shower with being like me time. I get to scrub off all the rough parts of my day and enjoy a little bit of that warm embrace in the shower. I don't want to muddy up that scene with the cold there. So I'm glad it worked for you. It's just one of those things I know isn't for me.
I will say, longest 30 seconds of my life, the first 30 seconds of that cold shower, Mike.
You would not survive in a cold plunge, buddy.
I have no doubt. No, I have tried it, and it is the hot stove theory to the max. Reversing polarity. Not a great time.
Mike, you are awesome, man. I love what you and your pops do. I can't wait to hear more of your stuff throughout college football season. It's great that college football's back. The NFL's on its way as well. Appreciate you, man. And again, best of luck to you and your pops.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Have a good one, guys.
Thank you so much. Mike Golic Jr. on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Can I just say?
Say it. Say what you want to say. Say what you want to say.
Say what you mean to say?
Yeah.
Thank the heavens they got this win today, man. I don't know I've been that relieved to get a win in a hot minute.
Thank the heavens. It was a tough one, but I felt confident they were going to come back. You know that I felt confident they were going to come back.
No, okay. You putting something
couple
on the
bucks
game.
On them, yeah.
You putting shekels on it is not confident. You're basically just trying to get some cash. That's That's an educated wish.
I'm also not in the business of trying to lose cash.
Okay. All right, okay. You know what? Complaint withdrawn.
I said trying, by the way.
Trying. Even though I do this. Really, it all started with a Bo Naylor home run in the bottom of the seventh. And then from there, run after run after run. And, you know, it's funny, man. Like, I thought Bibee actually looked pretty good early. And then, you know, right in that sixth innings, things started to get a little heated for him. And the end result is, I think it was 10 base runners in five innings and five earned. But I think this is the rare total offensive output game where Kwan got two hits and a walk. Jimenez got a big hit late in the game. You had Josh Naylor get three hits. I do think it was funny, though, his big hit that kind of helped continue the opening, the spot there for the Guardians. If you had judged it based off how he reacted and what he did with the bat, you would have thought Josh Naylor hit the ball 400 feet. It wasn't a shallow single, but it was on the shallower edge of the outfield where Josh Naylor got a single. But by the at-bat, it looked like the man hit the ball to the moon and back.
It was a big hit.
Big win. And
big weege.
And I think it's okay. Different thing. Different guy. I think it's okay to say this was a really important win without going overboard. I mean, it helps you have Pittsburgh coming in. Again, Pittsburgh's a nice team. They're not a great team. They're not as hot as the Royals are. So that there's some opportunity to claw back a couple games here as you retake the lead in the AL Central. But can I just, real quick here. Keith, which one do you want to hear me lose my mind about more? The it's over thing or the general thing that we do when the Guardians start to lose? Which is taking down, I don't know why I'm asking you while we're doing this on air. But go ahead, give me a tag.
Well, I mean, people thought it was over and now they are not going to say that anymore after today.
So
they would have doubled down had they lost today and got swept in the series, but now it's like you can't come up tomorrow and say that.
Yeah, that's a really good place to start. I'm going to play Danny Cunningham, who I thought was fantastic today with Ken Carmen on the Morning Boys.
Morning Boys.
He had an opinion after yesterday's loss, which in fairness was three straight losses. Kansas City pulls even with you in the Central, which means Kansas City basically takes over the Central because of the tiebreaker. And he called time of death in the Guardians this morning at about 6:05.
Oh, is it over?
Feels like it
you
right
feel
now.
Like it, you feel like it's over, huh, Danny?
Don't you feel that way?
No, I do not feel like it's over. It don't feel good. This is not a good feeling. I'm not in an advantaged position right now, but I don't think it's over.
To me, it feels like we are watching zombie baseball.
Oh,
again.
For the love of God.
That's what it feels
zombie.
Like.
Zombie.
I'd love to be wrong about this. I would. I don't see how this team's going to bounce back from what they've been over the last month or so. I think Kansas City's going to win this division now.
So that doesn't mean it's over.
They will still make the playoffs as a wild card team because I think they can't squander a.
Well, wait a minute.
Six and
hold
a half.
On. When you say is it over, when you ask is it over, I figure when you say is it over, are you out of the race altogether?
My hope of them going on a playoff run, of them winning the American League Central, is over. That's what I'm saying.
So let me just say, everything that guy just said is BS. Now, I say that with the fact that I love Danny Cunningham. I really do. He's a great guy, and I love that he came with opinions today.
Man, you just gave him so many compliments,
yep.
and then you just attack him.
No, that's exactly what we do. That's exactly – because, again, none of this is personal. But let's wake up here, guys. Like, I get it. None of this is comfortable. They're not playing their best baseball. I don't think they're playing their worst baseball, quite frankly, but they're highly inconsistent, and – there are some real things here. But, like, the idea that just because Kansas City got it close, guys, Kansas City's a really good team. This is not a case. The Guardians are 18 games above 500. And we got people talking, and I know that since the All-Star break, I think this actually pulls them back to 500. But, like, I know this is not how we want it to go. All right, and I think if you have doubt in your mind, that totally makes sense. But to declare it over is ridiculous. And I promise you, I had this on the docket to talk about today, whether they won or lost. Because today, I had said, if they get swept, Panic probably.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It is the right thing. But at the same point, guys, we're not even September. And it's a divisional race. Kansas City's really good. Minnesota is really good. This is not a case of the Guardians not being good. This is a case of the division is as loaded as I can ever remember it being. Usually it's two teams. If you're lucky, the AL Central's two teams, and it's two teams that if you put them in other divisions, wouldn't be as good. That they, part of the success of this division for a hot minute was the unbalanced schedule and playing 20 games a year against crappy teams when three of the teams or four of the teams in your division stunk. That's not the case now. The balanced schedule makes it really hard, a lot harder. It also, you're not playing as many games against other teams. But guys, I get it. But this is what a pennant race looks like. And if we're, what is it? Because I think they got one more series against Kansas City. I think it's like the second or third week of September. You get swept there, or they take two or three from you, and they take the lead, that's when you say it's over. And in fairness, Danny then went on to clarify, well, what he meant by it's over, it's all about the idea of, well, making a deep playoff run or honestly, the idea of winning the division. It is August 28th. What are we doing? I'm not saying any of this is comfortable. I'm not saying that I enjoyed the first three games of this series. I don't think anybody did. It was a colonoscopy, all right? Without anesthetic, all right? It's a couple bros broing out. It wasn't great. But just because it has not been great, just because there have been some struggles here, doesn't mean these guys can't play ball. And so are they playing the best baseball of the year? No, they did that for the first 77 games of the year. And since then, they've been roughly a 500 team. That still can get it done. And here's the other thing. When somebody says it's over, that means that the Guardians can't play better. They can. All right? Your starting pitching can continue to move in the right direction. Your lineup can do what they did today, where everybody gave you hits, including the most important part of the lineup for this team, which is their top five hitters. Guys, there were not a lot of bad at-bats, 1 through 5 today. That's a good sign. And I know, listen, Scott Barlow drives me crazy. Hunter Gaddis has had his moment here recently. Eli Morgan, if you leave him in for three innings, I totally understand the downside of this, but there's a difference between saying, man, they got to play better, and saying it's over. There's a difference in saying, Quan, get your head out of your ass and give us better at-bats than saying it's over. It's okay to have concerns, but every single time the Guardians have a rough stretch, it is some condemnation on every single thing that's ever happened to Cleveland baseball. It turns into, well, the Dolans, man. Well, the front office. Guys, the front office made three moves. If you don't like them, that's cool. But they actually did make three moves. And by the way, one of them is kind of saving your ass right now with Matthew Boyd, the one none of us had any expectations for. So does at some point, does Lane Thomas have to stop being Lemon Law Lane? You're damn right he does. At some point, can Alex Cobb get off the IL and give you six innings a night? Yep, he's going to need to. But it is August 28th. And every time this team, we don't do this. When the Browns hit the Browns hit the skids, nobody here goes, oh, it's a Haslam's, of course. When the Cavs got bounced down the second round, it wasn't about Dan Gilbert. But every single time, it's just because what it is, it's the same old grooves. The needle hits the grooves in the same spot. And I am all for talking baseball, so I don't want to discourage Danny or anybody else from talking baseball. But I do want this defeatist crap to go the way of the dodo because it is embarrassing. The Cleveland Guardians, yes, they've got problems right now. They also have solutions that are very much on the roster that were part of that great 77-game stretch to start the season. So I don't want to hear one more damn person say it's over until it's actually over. And this idea that we can judge whether the Guardians can win a World Series or win the division on August 28th, it is made up. It is fictitious. It is not real. It is not true. The Royals are playing their best baseball of the season. The pressure is they got to keep that up now through the, through October and maybe early November. That's hard to play your best baseball of the season for three straight months, as we saw with the Guardians. The idea the Guardians can't get their mojo back or aren't on their way there or that this thing is over is embarrassing. And every time the Guardians have a rough stretch, we don't need to turn it into an indictment on Chernetti or the Dolans. Nope. The guys in that locker room are losing the damn games. Nope. Steven Vogt, with some of his decisions and maybe an unsteady hand, he's lost this game. At the same point, those same dudes are going to get you out of it. And it is just blaming somebody to blame somebody. The Guardians are going to be okay one way or another. It is not over. Yes, there are concerns, but let's cut this crap about it's over. Oh, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? I just wanted to do an Animal House line there, but no, it's not over. There is more than enough time. Though the big news is also Denzel Ward being back at practice. There had been a few reports recently that he had made the decision to keep playing despite suffering what has been reported to be his fifth concussion. Obviously, there's the decision itself, the concern you can have for Denzel, but to hear that he was out of the protocol and back at practicing, that is a very good good thing to hear there, Dusty.
No, that is a good thing. It's a positive. Anytime you get guys back, and yeah, that's great. Anything else jump out at you from Kevin Stefanski?
Well, I mean, just one more thought on Denzel. They have so much depth in that corner room that if Denzel had to miss time, I'm pretty confident that they can kind of, between Greg MJ Emerson and all the other guys, I think they really like Miles Harden as well. I think they can make it work for a short amount of time, but early in the season, between Denzel and Dalvin Tomlinson up front, man, they need all hands on deck. They really do. So just to give the offense a chance to kind of find its footing in case, and this isn't in case, not a for certainty, in case it takes the offense a few weeks, whether it's September or the first couple games of the season to get right.
I think it may take a couple of games to get right. I hope it only takes like one game. You think that that Cowboys game is going to be this thing that propels them through the season. Don't you still believe that?
I mean, I don't know that I said that exactly. I just think they should.
Okay, I'm not a stenographer here.
Well, I do, because what propels them to the season. What the hell does that mean?
I mean, you think it's a game. Okay. What does week one mean to you? If the Browns win.
I'm not going to be ornery about this. I'm just pointing out that I could be. I think it'd be the best way to. I think it sets you up to then go on the road against Jacksonville and just start your season with momentum.
Would that be like propelling them? Like momentum?
No, I don't think it would be. Right. No, I don't think it would be. Well, I just don't want to put too much on one game. I kind of look at September as the thing of like, you're going to learn a lot about this team, and you're going to learn whether this defense was a product of a lesser slate last year, because defense is always ahead of offense. I know that's a cliche, but like, there's no reason, especially now that they're healthy, that the defense can't hit the ground running. I actually don't think we've talked nearly enough about the importance of Dalvin being 100% early. And a lot of that is you just don't have another every down player up front. Like, with especially Mike Hall Jr. beginning the season on the exempt list. They waived Juwan Biggs, the kid out of Cincinnati. They waived, oh my gosh, there's another defensive tackle that they waived as well.
Biggs did get it on the practice squad, though.
Okay. Now, so they can elevate him, okay. But, like, they already have some kind of depth issues. Well, Ika, that's who I was thinking of. So Dalvin being able to play significant reps early goes a long way. And so from that side, I know when it comes to the offense, everything's about, well, have you heard the things you want to hear? Doesn't sound great there. I didn't expect the offense to hit the ground running week one. If it does, awesome. We might be able to recalibrate. Like, if the offense is ready to go week one and win you games, and the defense is close to who they were last year, AFC North title doesn't look so far-fetched. But at the same time, I don't think that's where my head's at with that. I also thought it was interesting that Jack Conklin didn't practice today because it's part of a ramp-up. So basically...
So what's the ramp-up?
I mean, I think the ramp-up is just making sure that he's slowly... No, I don't want to say slowly, but they're making sure they don't weigh him down early as he's coming off the injury. I prefer he was there.
Yeah, I mean,
that
makes me a little nervous that he has to have the rest or whatever.
I mean, I agree with you, and I think that's something to watch. At the same time, I think given his age and given the injury history, you kind of have to have a light touch with Jack, just because if he ends up going down, or if he's not ready for week one, or if he has a setback leading into week one, I don't know where you're going with left tackle. I mean, James Hudson, is he healthy enough? Like, Jed, you're kind of banking on Jed making a miraculous recovery mm-hmm. at this pace, which didn't seem like that's where it's going to go. So, I mean, those were two of the bigger things that I think I heard there. I also thought it was interesting with the Mike Hall Jr. stuff. Where Kevin, you know, he was asked, you know, basically, what are you going to allow Mike Hall Jr. to do while he's on the commissioner's list because of his domestic violence charges? And Kevin said what I think is the right answer, which is everything we're allowed to do, which the only thing you can't do is practice or play. But you can be involved in the meetings. You can work out, obviously. So I think that is consistent to the Browns' approach to this whole thing the whole time.
I hope that that is the case, especially with this situation. I mean, like, look, Conklin's going to be vital for this team. Isn't he kind of like the key cog right now when you're talking about the offense outside of Deshaun Watson's like health?
I think he might be the most important thing going into the early season. Just until you can get Jed healthy. Because again, I listen, guys, we all know Jed is through 4 years. I think Jed is who he is. You know, I think there's a chance that maybe the new coaching staff, maybe he responds and, you know, all of a sudden we see a different Jed Wills. I think there's just as easy to say. Maybe the only thing keeping Jed Wills where he was in a good way was Bill Callahan. So, yeah.
Callahan out of pots.
Why is he from Boston?
Did you forget that we do this?
Which one?
Thoughts?
Wait, why are you jamming me up right now? I had a great thought on Jack Conklin.
Where'd it go?
Out in the ether, and then I think right through your ears.
The ether.
I said ether, you D. Man, I got to tell you, you're a short timer, and you are an ornery
short-timer.
You
know what it's like, man. It feels good. Just jamming you up.
Anything you heard from Kevin there? that you'd like to talk about?
I mean,
since I gave you three things.
It sounds like he wakes up at 7 a.m. every day.
Nope. I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to need a Browns take out of you right now. I'm not letting you. Nope. We got three. We got a few minutes to go here.
You want a Stefanski take?
No, I want. What did you hear from Stefanski? What stood out to you? I gave you three things.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that stands out to me the most is I think they're like all in on Conklin, and the idea that they're resting him. Even though I said I'm a little concerned about that, I think Kevin understands how important him being healthy, bringing him along slowly, is going to be for this team because. My God, if Conklin can't go at left tackle, we're going to be in a tough spot.
Well, and it really is some balance of those two guys, Jed and Jack. And I thought it was interesting, man. When we had Zach on in the 3 o'clock hour, he kind of was saying it sure seemed like Kevin didn't want to say it yesterday, but Kevin had kind of a clumsy answer on why,
Jed Wills?
Yeah, why Jed yeah. had been cleared but not practicing yet. And I think Zach's got the spot on interpretation, which is if you can't give something real there, it's going to make everybody believe that Jed had a setback. And I think that really changes the math. Because like what you just said is 100% true. If Jed can't go, and if all of a sudden, I can't remember if you can put Jed on the PUP again after being on the pup list during training camp. I'm not familiar with all the intricacies, but if you have to put him back on the PUP, it's a lot of pressure on Jack, who, by the way, is also going across the line, which is now it's a whole nother level of pressure.
Yeah, I mean, the guy has to sort of relearn how to play the position, even though he's done it in the past. He doesn't do it in practice. Like, the guy has to get reps to get comfortable and confident that he can go out there and protect the blind side of Deshaun Watson.
Am I too overly confident that Jack Conklin's going to be a pretty okay left tackle?
No, I don't think so, because he's that good of a football player.
Yeah, I think the only concern...
I think good football players can figure it out.
Yeah, I also think Jack's just been around for so long, and because he's got experience at Michigan State, I know it's been a long decade since he was there. I love that. Okay, football player. That's what he is. And football, there are great athletes, of which there are plenty of great athletes in the NFL. The dudes who are just good old football players.
Dudes being dudes.
I think the only concern I have with Jack is, can he stay healthy? That'll be the thing. And by the way, given his age, that's something we're going to be looking at every single week. Like, you know, we've talked about, well, what can you do to feel confident about Deshaun and this, that, and the other? I think the only thing you can do to feel confident about Jack Conklin is just every week he doesn't get hurt. I don't think there's going to be a moment where I go, okay, that's not going to be at the top of mind for me with Jack. 216-474-0092. So Denzel Ward back at practice. Jack Conklin not practicing today, although it's a part of his ramp up and getting healthy. Some good stuff there from Kevin Stefanski.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.